Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Seebuckthorn the Superfruit by Tesering Stobden is a nonfiction book focused on one of the most distinctive Himalayan plants and its value as a food, health, and livelihood resource, based on its subject and the author's Ladakh background. The book can be understood as an introduction to seebuckthorn, as both a traditional local product and a modern superfruit commodity. It likely explains why the plant matters in high-altitude regions where ecological conditions are harsh and agricultural options are limited. The book belongs to the category of practical natural history and regional resource awareness rather than a technical scientific monograph. Its purpose is to present seebuckthorn not only as a berry but as a versatile crop connected to nutrition, local enterprise, and sustainable development. Readers can expect a grounded overview of how this plant is used, why it has attracted wider attention, and what role it may play in Himalayan economies and wellness-oriented markets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, seebuckthorn as a Himalayan resource shaped by high-altitude ecology. A central idea in the book is the close relationship between seebuckthorn and the Himalayan environment. The plant is especially relevant in cold, dry, and high-altitude regions where conventional agriculture is difficult. That ecological fit gives the book more than a botanical interest. It frames seebuckthorn as a species that can support livelihoods in marginal terrain. This matters because plants adapted to difficult environments often have value beyond their immediate nutrition. They can stabilize land use, fit local farming patterns, and create products without requiring intensive inputs. In this sense, seebuckthorn is presented as a resource with regional identity, not just a generic health ingredient. The book's likely emphasis is on why Ladakh and similar areas have paid attention to the plant as part of local adaptation. By connecting geography, climate, and utility, it positions seebuckthorn as a practical answer to the constraints of mountain life, rather than merely a fashionable superfood. Secondly, nutritional density and the superfruit identity of seebuckthorn. The title itself signals one of the book's key arguments. Seebuckthorn is treated as a superfruit because of its unusually rich nutritional profile. Publicly known information about the plant points to high levels of vitamin C, antioxidants, flavonoids, and beneficial fatty acids, which explains why it is often promoted in wellness and supplement markets. A book on the subject would reasonably discuss these qualities as the basis for its growing reputation. The important analytical point is not simply that seebuckthorn is nutritious, but that its composition supports multiple uses, from juice and powder to oil and extracts. That versatility helps explain why the plant stands out among other wild berries. The book likely helps readers understand how nutritional value translates into product development and consumer interest, rather than presenting health claims in isolation. It probably places them within a broader discussion of what makes seebuckthorn commercially and culturally significant as a food resource. Thirdly, traditional uses and local knowledge in Himalayan medicine and food culture. Another important dimension is the link between seebuckthorn and traditional knowledge. In Himalayan and Tibetan contexts, the plant has long been associated with food, healing, and resilience in difficult climates. A book written by a Ladakh-based author is well-positioned to highlight these local connections. This gives the subject depth beyond modern supplement marketing. Traditional use matters because it shows that seebuckthorn did not become valuable only after being branded as a superfruit. It already had a role in everyday subsistence and regional medicinal practices. That continuity between older knowledge and contemporary interest is one of the book's most meaningful themes. It suggests that local communities are not simply passive sources of raw material, but custodians of accumulated ecological understanding. The book likely uses seebuckthorn to illustrate how indigenous food systems can inform present-day product development without losing their original context. This makes the subject culturally significant, as well as economically useful. Fourthly, from wild berry to market product value addition and product diversification. The book also appears to engage with the transformation of seebuckthorn from a local plant into a marketable product line. This is an important topic because the plant is not valued only in its raw form. It can be turned into juice, tea, jam, powder, oil, and other processed goods, each with a different consumer profile. That progression from harvest to packaging is where economic significance emerges. Value addition increases shelf life, improves market reach, and allows communities or enterprises to capture more of the plant's worth locally. In Himalayan regions, this kind of diversification is especially important because transport costs and small-scale production can limit profitability. By focusing on seebuckthorn as a product family, the book likely shows how natural resources become part of enterprise development. The subject is therefore not just agricultural, but also industrial and entrepreneurial. It illustrates how a single plant can support several linked markets if processing, branding, and distribution are handled effectively. Lastly, sustainable livelihood potential and the development promise of seebuckthorn. A A final major theme is Sea Buckthorn's potential role in sustainable regional development. Because it grows in tough environments and can be used in many forms, it offers a model of low input, high value resource use. For communities in places like Ladakh, that can mean new income opportunities without depending entirely on imported crops or fragile tourism cycles. The book likely presents sea buckthorn as part of a wider discussion about rural resilience, where natural resources are used in ways that support both economy and ecology. This development angle is important because it distinguishes the plant from purely commercial superfood narratives. It shows how a local crop can fit into community-based business, women's groups, cooperatives, or small processing units. In that sense, sea buckthorn becomes a case study in how regional biodiversity can support practical livelihood strategies. The book's value lies in connecting plant science, local economy, and sustainability into one coherent picture. In conclusion, Sea Buckthorn, the Superfruit should be read by anyone interested in Himalayan natural resources, local food systems, sustainable livelihoods, and the growing market for functional foods. It is especially relevant for readers who want to understand how a single plant can sit at the intersection of ecology, traditional knowledge, nutrition, and enterprise. Compared with general books on superfoods, it stands out because its subject is rooted in a specific mountain region and a specific cultural setting rather than in broad wellness trends. That locality gives the book practical credibility. Sea buckthorn is not treated only as a marketing category, but as a real resource tied to land, labor, and community development. The main benefit for readers is perspective. They can see how value is created through cultivation, processing, and product diversification, and why plants adapted to harsh environments can matter for both health and income. For readers of regional development, food studies, or Himalayan agriculture, the book offers a focused and useful lens on an underappreciated superfruit. If you would like to support Tisering Stobdan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.